Me too. Thanks, Ray, and everybody for participation. We're in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. A little bit of an apology for this morning's message. There's so much packed into one. We're taking a tour through 1 Corinthians in this series, and I am limiting myself to one sermon per chapter. If this was a Wednesday night series, it would take us a year to get through 1 Corinthians. If it was a Sunday night series, same thing. But Sunday morning, it's just a whirlwind tour through 1 Corinthians chapter 12. And I hope that you'll get some kind of a tidbit that ministers to you. Probably a different tidbit for each person as we stop at the various verses very briefly. But hopefully it'll be a blessing to you this morning. My mom and dad bought a waterbed some years ago, hoping that it would help them keep warm at night and also be good for their backs. That same year, my sister-in-law, Becky, bought my dad a new pair of silk pajamas. They were red and soft and comfortable. Well, he slipped into bed, and sometime later, Mom hopped in her side of the bed. A wave went across the bed and popped him right out onto the floor, onto the other side. Now, silk pajamas were a very thoughtful gift, but it didn't work out really well for them. Some gifts just don't work out for some people. And that's why when it comes to spiritual gifts, we leave the choosing up to God. We don't choose our spiritual gifts, we discover them. God put them in there, God gifts them to us, and we just have to understand what they are. We have a hand in developing them and responsibility to use them in community with the church as we reach out to this world. But we're not the author of them. He gives them severally as he wills. Do you know where you fit in the body of Christ? Do you know what your gifts are? 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 1. Now about the gifts of the Spirit, brothers and sisters, I don't want you to be uninformed. Well, here we are, Lord. We're in church today. Church is about many things, many valid things. As I mentioned earlier, we're here to worship you. But another purpose of being here is to learn from your word. Even this morning, as I was in my devotions and reading in the Gospel of Matthew, I was thinking, how in the world did Christians do it? Christians in the past who didn't have a copy of your scriptures, how did they survive? Just from one Sunday to the next, hearing a little bit of your word, we are very, very blessed. But in the midst of our bounty, a strange thing has happened. We've become an illiterate generation, biblically illiterate generation. They tell us that we know less about the word than people of the past. We have all these apps and helps available to us, so many books, so many studies, and yet we retain less than before. Holy Spirit, would you help us today? Whatever needs to happen to make our soil a little richer, to produce a crop, we pray you'd fertilize us today, you'd dig it up, you'd help us to get to a point where we retain what you say to us. Help us especially this morning as we look at being gifted, and we'll thank you for your help here today in Jesus' name. Amen. When you get hired, you expect to receive some kind of an inference, indication of what you're going to do for that job. Some people are fortunate enough to get a job description that tells them exactly what they're going to be doing, what the expectations are, hours, and so on and so forth. They can take that paper, they can study it, they can do the things on that, and it will go well for them. Some common titles: laborer, packer, manager, deliverer, delivery person, driver, receptionist. When you join the army, they put you in a unit of some kind: dispensary, motor pool, infantry, artillery, airborne. And from the job title, you can pretty well assume some of the things that you're going to be involved with. No company could ever survive if everybody was a CEO. No army could endure if everybody was on the front lines. Somebody coined the phrase a long time ago, an army marches on its stomach. Supply lines are lifelines. Everybody's job is important. The cook doesn't show up, and boy, there's going to be a different kind of a war going on. As a church, we form one body, one unit, made up of many individually gifted parts. So in a church, we need leaders, teachers, helpers, evangelists, counselors, administrators. We need folk who are gifted musically. We need folks who are good with finances, others who know about maintenance. Kind of missed the scaffolding. How about you? It kind of gave us an ambiance that was kind of neat. There are jobs for mechanics, cooks, painters, storytellers, nursery workers, gardeners, IT people. That's more and more important as we go on into the future. The more work we push on a few, the harder their job becomes, the more stressed they become, the less quality that they can produce. The more people we have helping, the broader the spread of the labor, and the easier it is, the more joyful as we take to the work. There's nothing worse than a labored church. Oh, it's so hard. Oh, we have to go to church again. Folk come in who are hurting and in need, and all they see is a bunch of hurting and in need people. But if we share the load together, there can actually be a joy in the same work that was once rather odious to us. Happy workers make for an inviting environment. Happy workers do the things that come naturally, or should I say supernaturally, to them. There are two kind of chores we all do, those that energize us and those that drain us. Let me just mention, what drains your batteries? Is there something on you? Every week there's a duty you need to perform, or maybe it's even daily, and you say, For some folk, that would be getting out of bed in the morning. If they can get out of bed, the rest of the day is easy, but just getting them on their feet, getting them started. There are some things that energize you. There are other things that drain your batteries. A huge part of discovering your spiritual gifts. Hear this. Yeah, a lot of folk, how can I find out what gifts I have? A huge part of it is figuring out, what do you enjoy doing? What do you like to do? Now, that doesn't sound like work. It's something you enjoy, but you're gifted that way. And if you look around, not everybody is so gifted. The things you like, other people chafe against. And the things that you chafe against, that's another thing to discover. Find out the things you don't like doing. That'll help you push you toward the things that you're called to do. Some people love to cook. Other people can't stand it. That's the same with finance, balancing books. Put a person in a room with a calculator, Other folk, they love numbers because they always add up. And they just feel fulfilled when everything is good that way. Painting. Again, give somebody a wall, they're happy as a lark. Other people, it's like a prison sentence. Go ahead and paint that thing. Teaching. Terry was mopping the gym floor the one day. And I went and I said, I can't imagine having to do this. How monotonous. That is a huge floor when you've got a mop. And she said, well, believe it or not, this is my favorite part of the job. I said, I don't believe it, but God bless you. Have a good day. And the best way to find out what you're best suited to do is try a wide range of activities. Just try it. How often have you said to the kids or the grandkids, just try it. You'll like it. Just give it a taste. And you know by their face that, you know, whether that's going to be successful or not. We've got this cute little blonde in our family. She's 3 years old now, and she's got a mind like a steel trap. You can't change it. It's rusted shut. And at 3 years old. She won't trust me to try anything. Either she's for it or she's against it. She's not going to. But don't be like that. Get some WD-40 in there. Get it loosened up. Try a few things you've never tried before. You might just end up finding a delight in your life. Go with the team to Morningstar. Volunteer to help serve a Christmas dinner. Help cook with Stephen's Legacy. Hang out with the guys at Wayne's Garage. Sit in on some kids' classes. Visit a Royal Ranger campout. Help with Easter Berlin. The car show is coming up October the 12th. And they're really looking for a lot of help. You don't have to be a car person. In fact, if you're not a car person, it'll work out better because the car people are staring at all the cars and they forget what they're there to do and so on. And would really appreciate your help. And this year it's become just, I don't know if I can say this or not, a little bit personal. All the proceeds go to help Stephen's Legacy. And our Angie Klein is probably the busiest person I know for the good of everybody else. And she's looking for some help. She's always helping us with everything. Just a side note, every once in a while, she'll bring a little container with a piece of pie in it. I don't know if you know Angie's family or not, but they've got, 1,000 kids now they're up to for grandkids. And she'll cook for them all, but she'll just save a little piece of pie for my wife. My wife's always happy to see me when I have a little food with me. And so that's a real, but that's just a tiny, tiny, you name it, she does it around here. And Stephen's Legacy is on her heart. They're helping people who are in need. And Angie herself has scrubbed floors and fed people and done all kinds of things. Now she's looking for a little bit of help. So it's become personal now. She's really looking for her brothers and sisters to show up on October the 12th and help. If you can, it would be a personal atta girl for somebody who's real. So I'm making a personal plea to you to bless my sister in this because she's really a great help to us all. So please, if you can help with the car show, give it a try. You might just find a delight there. I keep asking God to open doors for you to try new things. God is always spicing my life. I just have to chuckle. Some years ago, we went through that expand my territory verse out of the Bible, and he's been doing that ever since in my life. I'm doing things I've never done before, and it's really cool. But God, ask God to expand your territory, and he will. We've become a better church because a number of you are giving it all you've got. When we get together with our pastors, and so I'm always bragging about you folk because some of you work so hard, and you're my heroes. I bless you. I speak well of you behind your back. It's a great body, but all of us need to pull together. I mentioned Morningstar and Stephen's Legacy, Wayne's Garage, Easter Berlin. Add to that the youth initiative that we started this last wintertime. And we've had a couple events already that went better than I anticipated that they would. We're gearing up for the fall now. In September, we're going to have another launch and looking for great things. You can see God's hand at work in that. And maybe you're not young anymore, but you'd like to be involved in maybe you have a heart for teens. Don't let that die. That's a special gift. They're very open to us old people. One of the keys to Easter Berlin and our youth thing is Andrea's gift for connecting with our community. She knows the other pastors and their secretaries, and she knows the borough people, and has just a gift of bringing folk together for a united front. She quickly volunteers to go advertise. The rest of us go, ooh, yuck, I wouldn't know where to start. And she's a natural with that. Alina has been a godsend as secretary on my board. She took the agenda off my plate. She noticed I wasn't doing it real well. Because I can do an agenda, but for me it's like eating broccoli. Well, not broccoli, I like broccoli, Brussels sprouts. I can eat Brussels sprouts, but it's not a joy. It takes a while for me to clean my plate, you know, of that stuff. And when I was doing the agenda, I would always leave it for the last thing I did before a meeting, you know, just to get it done. She does it expertly. And she's got all these things we did talk about, things we still need to talk about, things we're going to be voting on next time, things to think about for the next month and all. She's got a gift for it. And for her, she can do it while she's doing it. She can multitask while she's doing up an agenda. She's got a gift. Find your gift. Verses 4 through 6. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. So we find in this group of scriptures, there are different kinds of gifts, services, and workings. The gifts are the talents or abilities necessary to do something. You have that skill. The service is the office or title under which that gift works. You often need a title in order to express your gift. You may be very gifted at being a teacher, but if you haven't signed up and you don't have a class and you just walk in on a Sunday and say, hey, I'd like to teach today, that would be more disruptive than it would be helpful. And I know we have an aversion to signing up for something else to do, something else on my plate, but if we don't volunteer, if we don't step up, if we don't get the office, we can't do the work that we love to do. So it's helpful to have the service or the office in order to finish that. The working is the actual use of those gifts through that office. It's what you did today to use your talent in your office. For example, Mel is gifted musically. She has the office of worship leader. Today what she did was she led worship. Ariel Strine is gifted administratively. So we gave her the position of kids church coordinator. And what she did for us today was she scheduled the workers, she ordered the materials so that whenever a teacher shows up for a class, they have everything they need in order to teach that class and give a snack to the kids and so on and so forth. We need that orderliness and all that's going on. Adeline Womer, she's got a heart that is tender and willing. So today she'll be one of our ushers. She'll run up front and grab that, and Sam will help her out while she goes down. And she'll also hug about 10 people and let them know that they're special and that they are loved. I remember when Betty Kaiser was with us, an elderly lady, and had trouble seeing and so on and so forth. So many of the kids would come up and give her a hug and let her know that she was loved and she was special. Our kids have spiritual gifts, and they use them well within the body. Let those gifts so shine. My daughter and her husband and family were with us Thursday until yesterday. And it's neat to see the different personalities, that raised by the same parents, fed the same food, but so different in their makeup. And their middle son, Hudson, has quite a tender heart. And Hudson and Colton spent the night with my son and his family on Thursday night. On Friday morning, I picked them up. And Parker wanted to go along with the boys, of course, so I said, of course he can come. And there's little Hannah standing in the corner with that face on. And I said to Andrea, well, she's welcome to come along if she'd like to, too. Oh, and she lit up. And Hudson stopped and he said, we can't go without Hannah. Just that mercy, that, you know, that love coming out. And so we put her in the van with all the boys. Off we went and had a great day all together. Excuse me. But you can see these things even in our kids. And you ought to call them out of them. You ought to say, you know what? You're really good at this. I really appreciate when you said that or did that. You know, you're really gifted in this way. Some of the spiritual gifts that God puts in us, He's really put in us from birth. And like I say, we're discovering them. Some of them He blesses us with along the way. They were not natural to us, but they're supernatural to us. And God infuses us with them as we go along. So there's the gift, the service, and the working. Find your gift, find your place, do your job. Each one of those is an adventure, I'm sure you'll agree. Finding your gift. Who am I? What do I do? Okay, now how do I express this in the body? What is my place? then show up and do your job to the best of your ability. There will be an enemy trying to stop you, discourage you, but get her done. And re-energize yourself. Keep going. Go back to the source of your gift. God, I need your help. I need to rededicate myself to what you've called me to. I'm going to have everybody coughing and have a tickle here in just a minute. I've got two more halls left, so I can help two of you out. Many people have several spiritual gifts, and they have different offices all at the same time. Everybody on our board is a good servant. They not only help administratively, but they get their hands dirty in the work around here. 1 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 7. Now to each one the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom, to another a message of knowledge by means of the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miracles, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. Again, this could be a series in itself, just this block of scripture. But very briefly, Paul notes that the Spirit distributes gifts to each one of us for the common good. Here's for you, here's for you, here's for you, and this is what we're going to do. We do this thing together. Let's talk common good for just a moment. These are for the good of the body, the good of those present, the good of those we serve when we leave this place. God is gifting you to be a resource for other people. I heard on the radio just yesterday, they did a poll of young people, of millennials, and they wanted to know how many felt like life was meaningless, had no meaning. And it was in the high 80 percentile. If life is meaningless, there's really no purpose to it. We have life to bless God and to bless one another. That's our purpose. We were created by him and for him, and we are part of his work in all the world. And you will find meaning and you will find joy as you serve others in this life, particularly as you serve them through the gifts that God places within in your life. We could break these gifts up into categories. The first is knowledge gifts. There are three gifts in this category: wisdom, knowledge, discerning of spirits. Wisdom is how to use the knowledge. Knowledge is something you didn't know before, you just learned something. Oh, I see. Wisdom is the application of the knowledge, and discerning of spirits is knowledge of what spirit is at. Well, boy, do we need that more than ever before. We got a lot of junk going on in the name of Jesus and in the church. People are taking up causes. They are bringing teachings forth, and you're saying, is that really the word? Is that really what God is saying? And maybe they're even using scripture, but it doesn't feel right to your spirit. It isn't congruent with what you believe. You get the willies. I always say, obey the willies. And if it just sounds, I feel a little freaky about it, though the words are right, there could be a different spirit at work. Remember, the enemy loves to disguise himself as an angel of light. And so it might look good, it might sound good, but it doesn't feel right. And there is a spiritual gift that comes. It's called the discerning of spirits. And you just know, that's not for me. Speaking gifts, prophecy, tongues, interpretation of tongues. So you actually speak something out. That's a spiritual gift. We might be in the middle of a service, middle of a worship service, and you might feel like tooting your horn. You have a word for everybody, And the Holy Spirit just prompts you, and you kind of resist it a little bit, and you argue with him, but no, God really wants you to speak this out. And so you speak out an exhortation, calling for us to worship God more or to yield to him in the Spirit, whatever it might be. Tongues, you speak out in a language that is not our language. For Spanish, press 5 or 5. And that has to be coupled with an interpretation of tongues. If you speak out in tongues, there should be an interpretation so everybody can be blessed by what is being said. That's a speaking gift. Power gifts. Faith. Faith is a sudden burst of faith. You were a little iffy. You weren't sure what you were supposed to do, but all of a sudden you know that's exactly what you need to do. And nobody could convince you otherwise. God has spoken to your heart, and you feel confident and you feel strong. You felt weak and iffy moments before, but the gift of faith has burst out on you. You're empowered to do the work. Gifts of healings, that's plural, because there's a lot of different kinds of healings that are needed. And there are a lot of different ways that God heals us. Sometimes it's instant, sometimes it's gradual, sometimes it's a spiritual thing, sometimes it's a physical thing. And then miracles are different from gifts of healings. A healing can be a miracle. You had cancer, now you don't. That's a healing and also a miracle. But a miracle is when the laws, thank you so much, when the laws, the gift of mercy at work, right there. We set this up before service so that there would be an illustration. But when the laws of nature are suspended, when you're sucking on a hose and you get a slug of cold water, that's a thrill like no other. It's a miracle. And when the laws of nature are suspended, that's a miracle. Friends, we serve an awesome God. And when the church gets tired, when the church gets weary, we need to be revived in our faith. We need to trust in our God. Our God can do anything. We were praying as a group of pastors the other day, and of course our discussion was talking about how numbers are dropping in churches and immorality is on the rise, and it looks like the culture war is ever going downhill, and so on and so forth. But as we prayed, we were reminded about a God who said there was an enemy that was as many as the sand on the seashore. They polluted the land of Israel. And God called one man, Gideon. He said, blow the trumpet and get the troops together. Too many troops. Tell anybody who's afraid they can go home. 20,000 guys went home. They were left with 10,000 to fight against a vast army they couldn't see the end of. And then God said, still got too many. And got it down to 300 to go and to do this thing. With God on our side, with God on our side, we can do anything. And you don't have to, oh, I feel all alone. You are, slap yourself. He said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And when you feel discouraged, you need to have a pep talk with yourself. You take yourself in the corner, you need to straighten yourself out, and you need to say, now look, you serve the mighty God. And he loves to make it dark before the dawn. He loves to dwindle the numbers down until he explodes on the scene. This is his hand at work. You're giving the devil all the credit, and God's setting it up for victory. We serve a God of miracles. It's one of the gifts. As you can imagine, the gifts often work in concert. Somebody might have a word of knowledge. And they say, somebody is here this morning, and you've got a man, you're really hurting on your left side, and God is going to touch you in a special way today. Faith is born into the heart and mind of that person, and then healing is dispatched for that day. They work in concert. These gifts work in services. They work in meetings. They work when you're ministering to somebody one-on-one. You might be witnessing to somebody, and suddenly you know something about them you couldn't have known otherwise. God just dropped it into your heart or mind. And while you're talking to them, you say, well, has this ever happened to you? And boom, their eyes get big. And how did you know? Well, the Spirit's speaking through me right now, and He wants to minister to you in these moments. This is good news. You have Holy Spirit backup whenever you minister in Jesus' name. No matter what you do, if you're doing what God has called you to do, then God is right there with you. I can testify to you how many times I have crawled into this pulpit and said, Lord, I can't do this today. I'm a mess. Or I have nothing to offer. And God meets me here every time because He's faithful. He called me. He'll make sure that it gets done. I'm sure Mel could tell you the same thing with leading worship. Probably some of the best worship services we ever had were right after the worst rehearsals they've ever had as a worship team. God just likes to get it dark sometimes so we remember who we put our faith in and who always shows up with what we have need of. You don't have to know everything. You don't have to, I love this. You don't have to be all that. Just be humble. Just be willing, and God will use you. In fact, if you think you're all that, if you think you're so well prepared, God will show you differently. The Spirit distributes the gifts as He deems necessary. And when you need it, it will be yours. It will all come together. Later in the same chapter, verses 28 through 30, and then in Romans chapter 12, and in Ephesians chapter 4, we have different lists of different gifts, offices, abilities that God gives. There in Romans chapter 12, we read about exhortation. Some people are good at exhorting others. They will give you an infusion of encouragement. They will get you straightened out. You will be strengthened after they've talked to you. They'll get you on the right path. Giving. Leadership, mercy, prophecy, service, and teaching. In Ephesians chapter 4, we have these offices, apostle, evangelist, pastor, prophecy, teacher. Now you see prophecy listed twice. One is the gift and the other is the office. A gift of prophecy, if we're in service together and somebody speaks out on behalf of God, that's prophecy. It could be saying something about the future. It could be revealing something that is now that we weren't paying attention to or focusing on and we need to. The office of prophecy is where you often speak on behalf of God. Rarely does it have to do with the future. It's what God would say to the body today. A difference between the gift and the office, but both work together. Mercy. There was a billboard not long ago as you went into Hanover. It was advertising, I think, the little baby branch in the hospital. And the nurse even had a mask on, but her eyes said it all. She was holding a little baby, and the compassion in her eyes was just palpable. And mercy. Some people are just very merciful. They've got the love of God oozing out of them in so many ways. Giving. We have some extraordinary givers among us, and you'd probably never guess who they are, but they just loved, God has given them the ability, and it is their joy to give. There are no spiritual offices for keepers or takers, just givers. Find out what you were created to do. Do it cheerfully, willingly, to the glory of God, and for the common good. Where are you at on your journey, friend? Are you still discovering? One thing I've noticed about when God helps us with these things, we come to enjoy who we are and stop chafing against we're not like somebody else or everybody else. They're so good at this. They do that so well. I wish I could. Well, find out what you do well. There's other people looking at you saying, I wish I could be like them. I wish I could do that so well, and so on. Become comfortable in your own skin. God created you as you are. That comes with benefits as well as liabilities. Be careful of the edge on that. I often say, if I was to have brain surgery, I would want a perfectionist working on me. How about you? Knows where everything goes and everything's in its place. It's done just so. But if I was playing around a golf, I wouldn't want a perfectionist, you know, as, oh, hey, oh, we don't do mulligans around here, you know, all that kind of stuff. I knew you better grip the club this way and so on. No, we all have a personality. We all have strengths and we all have weaknesses. You probably know your mate's strengths and weaknesses really well. There are some things you really love about them and some things that irritate the gourd out of you. But you blend them all together and you make a great team. Again, find out what you were created to do, then do it cheerfully, willingly, to the glory of God and for the common good. Would you stand with me this morning? All for Jesus.